So yeah, thank you. Welcome to our June TAT meeting. First thing on the agenda, they were attached to the meeting invite, and I can call those up now. We have our meeting notes from our meeting in March. Hopefully everybody got a chance just to look over. And if there's no objections to what's in there, also just a note that we do record these meetings, and the meeting recording is also posted, so we have that record of what was talked about and stuff as well. So if everybody is okay with the notes as written, I would need a motion to approve. Go
Motion to
once.
approve.
Thank you. And a second?
Seconded.
Thank you, Hakan. Thank you, Darren. Great. So we can get rid of those. I'll call back up our agenda for today here. So West I and I regional I and I reduction, that's a little redundant. Executed contracts for proposals. Yes, as you know, I think we're on year two of our regional I&I reduction program. Everyone has done proposals where you kind of tell us what your project is and the TAT reviews, and we make a recommendation whether to include in the program or not. Turns out, a lot like when we do a project initiation report, the proposal is kind of what you think you're doing. And then you actually have the design and the contracts that you execute. So I've been reaching out to folks when you do execute contracts for those proposals, if I could get copies of those as documentation. So that then gives us my finance an idea of how much is under contract and what Wes's 1/3 of that would be, or 33% or whatever that is. So that we have, we're okayed. We have our documentation that we have approved spending up to 1/3 of that contracted amount. So I will be reaching out to folks every once in a while just to make sure we have those executed contracts. And that also goes for any kind of change order and such amendments to your contracts. If you could please keep in mind to send me those as well. And then we'll also be looking for, I think we've settled into a routine of twice annually, getting invoices from all our member communities to pay you back, a third or our share of those contracts. It just helps with the financial outlay. And, I'm sure, helps with your, finances as well to not do that at the end of every project like it was written in the original IGA. I am working with our legal counsel, Amanda Keller, to get a kind of letter amendment to the IGA that states, initially the IGA said one-time payment at the end of a project. We all know capital projects could take years, and we don't want to span fiscal years with funds that we owe you. So kind of writing up that, we're expecting to do, the July through December, pay you for what you've expended in those months, and then January through June, so twice a year, paying out our portion of what we have pledged to you as part of the reduction program. Okay. And then after that, if nobody has any questions, I just wanted to kind of update folks on some of the conveyance projects that we have going on, actually some of the projects that we have going on at Wes, in case anyone had questions or interest, we could delve further into some of them. I can't see exactly who's on the call. Jeff, do you want to do IT2 pump station and 30-inch horse main?
Sure. Yep. Our IT2 project is out to bid. The force main piece of it, that's the 30-inch force main, filling in seven different segments that weren't installed with the original project. We are expecting to get bids back in July, and that's we've given them essentially two dry seasons to build that 25 and 26. We're not expecting any work to occur really on digging or doing this summer. It'll be more submittals, some investigative work, maybe some potholing, that type of stuff, but really the bulk of the work will start next year. And the force main piece, the pump station piece of that project, we will be out to bid this fall slash early winter. We're expecting kind of to have bids back before the holiday season in November, on that one. And that there's some coordination between those two in terms of facility shutdowns and things. And so that'll be a closely coordinated effort between those two contractors. But yeah, expecting all of that work to be done in the fiscal year or by the end of 2026, essentially, and that system to be online and operational.
Excellent. And just so everybody knows, the pump station portion of it will all be in our jurisdiction, correct? Or are we in City of Milwaukee there as well?
I think there's some permitting through Milwaukee
Okay.
that needs to occur for the pump station piece.
And the 30-inch force main, we actually do touch on Gladstone and Oregon City, correct? We're working with them.
And we've been working to get all the necessary permits and everything from there. And
Excellent.
once we kind of have a better idea of timing overall on impacts of different segments, there's seven different segments, and we're not prescriptive for you have to start at one and go through seven. The contractor can kind of pick and choose how they want to do the project. Once we have the schedule from them, the initial schedule, we'll be able to do a lot of outreach to let folks know kind of the timing of those specific segments and impacts along the route.
Cool, thank you.
I can do the next one too.
Yes, please.
Tri-City Outfall construction has started. If I can take over sharing for just a second, I can at least show. I don't know if I can do that with the recording. And I should have coordinated that with Jessica better.
I stopped share. Does it not let you?
There it is. If I take a moment and share, we
Woohoo!
got the first delivery of our jacking pipe or our tunneling pipe. So essentially, this is a fiberglass pipe. And then the concrete is really, it's a structure around which they can put the forces on that are going to be required to do the tunneling itself. And so the tunneled portion is this type of pipe, and then the open cut piece between where the tunnel is and back to the treatment plant will just be the fiberglass pipe. We've started to receive pipe shipments, and we're digging the shaft right now in anticipation of the tunnel boring machine arriving on site in early August. We'll have an open house before the tunnel machine drops down in the hole and starts its path towards the river. Current expectation is we'll be out in the river a little beyond the in-water work period. We were a little delayed on getting the machine, and so we're working with the EQ right now to get an amendment to allow us to be in the river a little bit longer than what is openly allowable from an in-water period. But that work will be done to the river this year, and then we'll come back next summer and build the actual pipeline out in the river. But this will get our tunnel out to the river. So it's a wet recovery. We tunnel all the way out into the river, and then we pull it out of the river and put it on a barge, cap our pipe essentially for the winter season, and then come back next summer and finish off the project.
Jeff, just curious. I know for West staff, we're having Michael's safety meeting kind of stuff. I didn't know if there was an opportunity to share with our member communities if we needed to get them to something like
Sure,
that.
if somebody needs to come on site, it's a Michael's controlled site, which is our contractor, and so depending on what the activity is, if it's just to come for a tour or something like that, we'll work through that, making sure there's a 10 or 15-minute orientation. I can't imagine any member cities are going to need to do work, and so that would be just included as part of that site visit, would be an orientation of the site and making sure everybody has the right PPE and everything. For the open house piece, which everybody here will get invites to, that will not require that. It'll be outside of the construction area. We'll have the machine itself parked outside of the construction area with photo opportunities and folks around to answer technical questions and or just curious questions about the project overall. And
Excellent.
that is scheduled for early August once the machine arrives on site. We'll be refining and updating that data as we understand delivery. It's currently done with functional testing and is getting loaded onto shipping containers to be shipped from Germany to here.
Excellent.
I'll
Thank
turn it
you.
back over to you.
That's, I don't know how that's, even though I'm not really, I make it clear that I just deliver the shit to the front door and I don't deal with it after that, but this is really damn cool and I'm excited to see it. So anybody, Dana, Darren, if you guys have staff you want to see stuff, please reach out. We're happy to share. The Clackamas Area Interceptor Improvements, this
You want
project.
to re-throw up the agenda, Jessica?
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Yep, no worries.
Start sharing again. Screen two. Share. There we go. So yeah, the Clackamas Area Interceptor Improvements. This is our approximately, oh God, I forgot how long it was. A few mile long, upsizing or improving our Clackamas Interceptor, which runs from pretty much the 212-224 split out by Carver to all the way through to almost IT2 behind Lowe's and CarMax there on 224. We just got our basis of design report, kind of a 30% level, and we are moving forward to go to 60%. The plan is to have that in hand by the end of this year. So things are moving right along, getting kind of finalizing alignment, permitting, easement needs, all that fun stuff. And if anyone's interested in that, give me a holler where, Zach and I are pretty well versed in where the existing interceptor goes and where we're going to be putting the new one. And it's really wild, the difference between seeing a drawing, CAD drawings, plan and profile, and actually driving the alignment and seeing the ground conditions and the, traffic and the existing buildings and businesses and driveways just adds a whole different level of complexity. So, multi-pump station upgrades, that is also one of mine. This project's rather funny, started back in, I think, 2019 or so. I think we started with four pump stations in mind, and we're currently at 12 pump stations. We've gone up and down in count of what we're doing and where. And just to put that in perspective, we have 23 that we operate, so half of them we'll be working on. We're doing upgrades, everything from just level or control upgrades to full gut rehab, overhaul the entire station, including piping, force main alignment, all that kind of stuff. And the one that we have currently under construction is our Gladstone pump station, also referred to as the Barton Street pump station. It's the point at which the city of Gladstone's flow comes to us, and we pump it across the 99 bridge between Gladstone and Oregon City for treatment at Tri-Cities. That station is a time capsule. It is existing exactly as it was when it was constructed in 1984. And we just broke ground and are starting work there. By the time we are finished, the only thing that will still be remaining there is the physical outside walls and roof of that structure. Everything else will be gutted and replaced and upgraded. Really fun projects. Hopefully, as I was telling Darren, in order to crack into the existing force main and set up bypass of the station, we need to shut it down overnight, and we will be trucking flows. Tentatively, we're still looking at July 10th, the evening of July 10th into the morning of July 11th. As we get closer, if that date still holds, I will get notification out, to the city of Gladstone as well as the residents within earshot. Mike, you turned your camera on. Did I say something wrong? Okay. Good to see you. So yeah, we've got that one going on. And then we also have upgrades to our Carver and Mitchell Creek pump stations. Those are just, level sensors, a few sensor upgrades there. And our next one to go out to bid, hopefully later this summer, includes our Golf Club Terrace, South Welch's, Sieben Lane, and the City of Gladstone's 82nd Drive pump station. All of those are pretty serious overhauls, even replacements of those stations. So yeah, a lot of work going on there. And then Mike, if you're ready, the new Willamette Pump Station in Fort Smith, can you give us an update on
Yes, ma'am. That's why the camera came on.
that?
No real giant updates on that project. I would say that we've wrapped up some pretty detailed conceptual work on the pump station design and location and the alignment of the force main, such that we're launching into a 30% design with clear direction on that project. I'll note that construction is still expected end of 2025, start of 2026 for that. And we did meet with City of Westland 2-ish weeks ago, and we walked through kind of the latest layout of pump station and force main alignment to kind of loop them in on that. So that's where we're at. Continue to progress. Happy to provide additional details if anyone has specific questions.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. And I see, excuse me, I skipped the bolt and force main and pigging. This is another exciting one that has us all kind of holding our breath. As I mentioned, we own, operate 23 pump stations. I've come to find out that we have done some pigging of our force mains previously, but our bolt and force main is one of the ones that serves West Lynn. It's on the northeast end of West Lynn. Both our Bolton and River Street pump stations have force mains that run under the Willamette River and come up into Clackamas Park, where they discharge to gravity and continue on to Tri-City. Those force mains were constructed in the mid-80s, and to my surprise and looking at the record drawings, they were actually open cut across the Willamette River half at a time. We have had a few emergency breaks or had a few breaks in the force main on our Bolton force main over the past few years, and we figured it's about time to bite the bullet and figure out what's going on with that force main, see what we can see about the existing condition, as well as we replaced the pumps at our Bolton pump station, and we aren't able to push the amount of flow we should be able to push through that existing force main. So all signs are pointing to that force main has a good amount of debris in it. So next week we will be pigging our Bolton force main. Because of the previous breaks in the force main, because of the alignment under the river, everybody's a little nervous and holding their breath, but we're working with SFE Global. They have done many force main pigging jobs in the city of Portland, all successful. They also, in working with them, I've been really impressed with how organized, how methodical, conservative. These folks don't want to cause an issue either. They don't want their name in the news either if something goes wrong. So, we will begin next Monday with the first kind of sacrificial pig that they put through. It's smaller diameter than the force main. It's also a very what do you call it? Not dense foam. It's almost like putting a cotton ball through. If this runs into anything sharp, it's going to disintegrate. It'll get ripped to shreds and just come out the other end. So we'll start that way. And until it can make it through without much damage, we won't proceed to firmer or larger diameter. So very iterative process, stepped baby steps all the way through. The hopes are that by Wednesday, we will be able to run through what is called a smart pig. It actually has sensors on it and can give you information back on the location, geometry, any bends, turns within the pipe, and the inside pipe wall thickness or loss kind of dimensions. So you know if the pipe is thinning is from the inside. It can't give you outside information, it gives you inside information. So very exciting for us, and is probably, it will go successful and we will continue. We have a few other pump stations already in mind where we won't be doing the smart pig, but we will be pigging for to regain existing capacity and clean out those lines. So I am happy to, after it's done, give feedback to anybody that has pump stations and is interested in pigging themselves. So we can definitely share lessons learned. So yeah, that's what I had prepared. Kenny, Dana, Darren, anybody have questions on anything you'd like to hear more about?
I guess before we jump to questions, Jessica, there's one more project I just want to mention that we just kicked off here, and that is a project in Happy Valley. And I don't think Happy Valley's online that I see, but we did kick off our Rock Creek Interceptor Extension project. It's a project to continue to allow growth out in the Happy Valley that'll bring flows down that Rock Creek Interceptor Extension. And so that just kicked off design here about 2 months ago. And so we'll be working on that project over the next several years as well.
Excellent. Thank you.
No, nothing specific that I can think of that I need to hear more about. Yeah, it looks like everything that I'm aware of that you guys are doing to impact us. We can provide some information about our projects once we get to the roundtable, but no specific questions.
Great. Thank you, Kenny. Yeah, we'll definitely circle back to you to hear updates on you. Darren, anything, questions or anything from you?
No, I don't have anything.
Dana, all good?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Kenny, the floor is yours. Let's hear about Oregon City.
All right. Let's see here. We've got one project out to bid right now, Malala Avenue I&I, engineer's estimate right around $5 million. Good portion of that, unfortunately, is dealing with hazardous materials, rather contaminated soils that are not hazardous. That's an important distinction. But we're getting ready to bid another $4.5 million project for Rivercrest Basin, and then two more in the spring that I think are going to have combined sticker prices right in the neighborhood of, I want to say, $6 million. So getting ready to be pretty busy.
Yeah.
And we've had some early flow monitoring results that are encouraging as well. Our model results still aren't ready, but even just kind of look at Lynn 1 was the most recent project that we did that did lateral rehab. And you can just look at the kind of drizzly weather flow results. And in 1 year, there were spikes, but then there was an ever-growing level of base flow in the sewer. And then the next year, during a similar drizzly period that delivered the same amount of aggregate rainfall or similar, it was pretty much a flat line with those INI peaks.
Yep.
So that's a pretty strong indicator that we've gotten a lot of that groundwater out and are just kind of left with whatever cross connections we still have to deal with. So we're seeing some early indications that we've been pretty effective, especially
Excellent.
Considering that we only did like a third of the basin and we got pretty dramatic change in response profile. That's kind of, that's honestly unexpected.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Great news. Yeah, I'm trying to think back. What was the 20-20-20 rule? Something about, you know, because we usually meter in these big basins, and then you can almost, you know, then you do your investigation to see, you know, your smoke testing, your CCTV to see where things are coming from. And it's something like it's 20% of the pipes or manholes or assets is actually what's causing or allowing the. So, because when you're metering on 20,000 linear feet of pipe or, you know, 1,600 acres, it's not like the whole thing is bad. Hopefully not. So yeah, doing that iterative process where you isolate and figure out and, you know, just focus attention on the most cost-effective fixes and such. So cool.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it on the Oregon City side. We're just prepping to get Wallace renewed for yet another year of program management, a very busy year for everybody involved, and getting ready to give the annual report to Wes, I believe, at the end of this year, which
Excellent.
Should hopefully have some more relevant flow monitoring information in it.
Excellent. Yeah, we did a, we looked at, you know, our original model looked at flow data prior to 20, 16, I believe. I sent to Jacobs flow meter data from 2017 to 2022, and they took a look at our INI predictions and all that, and we did show some reductions, especially in our Mount Talbot Basin. That was the one where we then went back with Leeway Engineering and did CCTV and smoke testing, and we identified a stormwater pond on Kaiser's property up on Sunnyside that had a improperly abandoned lateral under it, which was pretty much draining that stormwater pond. Which our field ops guys went out and exposed and properly abandoned and capped, and we saw a rather nice reduction in INI in that area, looking at the flow data. So it does work. We can do it. But it's a slow and steady process, and we're, compiling our reports to show folks, because the West Advisory Committee or the county commissioners are like, we're spending all this money. When are we going to see? When are we going to, finish? All that kind of stuff. So, love to hear the success stories. And even if we're not successful, we can learn from that and figure out, how to. We don't want to spend money that isn't benefiting all of us. So, I appreciate you, all your hard work you guys are doing in Oregon City and the communication. So, excellent. Is there anything else? Anybody have anything you want to add or pose to the group, or just want to get outside and enjoy this 80-degree weather?
Well, I suppose then if there's nothing else from the rest of the group, I do want to check in on a question I asked in the last meeting, Jessica, related to updating proposals.
Yes.
Has there been any updated guidance related to that?
Yes and no. It depends on how big of a change. If you're varying from the proposal by, you're not in the same area anymore. It's not one of those 19 basins. It's, the proposal was, for pipe and manhole rehab, and now it's just lateral rehab, not including pipe and manhole. Unless there's a big substantial change, no need to update the proposal. What we are doing is, the proposal is the first initial kind of, we're thinking of doing this, and this is what we think it's going to cost. And the TAC says, yep, that's to reduce INI. That's what it's focused on. It is in one of those critical basins. So we feel it should be involved in the program. Once you then, get to the point where you have contracts, give submitting the contracts to me, so then we then have the documented of what's, what you're under contract with and what Wes is contributing to. It would be nice to get that, and that then gives our financial people the, I say this was the proposal, this is the actual contract that came out of it, this is Wes's share, and we have all our documentation so that we can then reimburse you. So,
So if we're, say, shifting a project from one basin to another, it should probably be noted, but if it's just moving from one part of the basin to another, it's probably not worth resubmitting.
if you're not doing Oak Street, you're doing Cedar Street, but it's all still in the same realm of what you proposed, don't worry about it.
Cool.
Yep.
And kind of along a similar line, as long as the broad strokes of what we're doing remain unchanged, i.e., we're doing mainline rehab, we're doing lateral rehab, we're doing manhole rehab. If we're switching around methods or anything like that, not worth worrying about. And any idea on about what level of like a price change that they would be interested in seeing? Because some of these I'm really tearing up the scope of and either really reducing them or really increasing them.
Jeff or Ron, any thoughts on that? I mean, currently we kind of have a, we don't have a cap.
I mean, I think if it's a substantial change to scope and we've brought it here to this group to have this group weigh in on whether that's the right way to be supportive of the project, if it's still within the basin and it's still addressing the basic tenet, the basic approach of what we're doing, but if it's a My concern would be adding scope that would be outside of kind of without this group weighing in on it. That's kind of the goal of this group, is to make sure that it's not just myself or Jessica making unilateral decisions on whether we support whose projects. And so that would be my only concern around that from a procedural standpoint.
So as far as cost, if the proposal was for 100K, but now they're going to put it out and then it comes in, engineer's estimate is 1 million, you know, is there an order of magnitude where we should revisit? I mean, we don't have in the IGA a cap. You know, I think
right.
If you guys are got it in your budget, we're willing to, as long as we know ahead of time, so we can plan accordingly in our CIP and budgeting.
Do we feel comfortable with maybe just saying like an order of magnitude? So 100,000, if we're coming in closer to 1 million with our engineer's estimate, maybe we should bring it back. If it's 1 million, we're kind of climbing into the high single digit millions, we should bring it back, that kind of thing.
I guess I think we should engage Aaron Blue in this too, from the finance
sure.
piece on Wes, to give a true answer as to how big those impacts are to the overall financial picture. So let's, I guess, Jessica, you, me, Ron, and Aaron
yep.
can kind of get back to you on that, Kenny.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. But the clarification and everything else is good. I am rarely doing more than fiddling with the actual amounts, but I am frequently relocating projects. So it's good to know what those guidelines are.
Yeah, we'll take a look, Kenny. I think, you know, like Jeff said, it's the sensitivity of our rates and model and budget and all that fun stuff. You know, I reach out to you guys every fall to say, okay, what are you putting in your CIP next year? And then, you know, what possibly will you be asking for funding on? And then Aaron uses that information to budget our INI reduction share. So typically we have a kind of heads up of you're going to be spending 10 million next year. So, you know, giving us time to plan accordingly to be able to cut the checks to reimburse you. So, but yeah, we'll double check and see if that's, you know, if it changes by 20% or if it changes by 50% or 150%, when do we need to reevaluate?
All right, I will mute myself because I am now out of any questions.
No worries. I appreciate you contributing. Hey, Joe, can I embarrass you because I've never met you? Do you mind saying hi? And we'll introduce ourselves to you, and you can introduce yourselves to the rest of the group.
Joseph Conrad. Actually, I go by Joe, City of Westland, Operations Environmental Supervisor.
Excellent. Good to meet you. I've heard a lot about you, although we haven't chatted or met in person yet. We'll go around just so you know who's here. If people don't mind, I'm just going to call out names. Jeff and then Kenny.
Sure. Hi, Joe. Jeff Stallard, the capital manager here at Water Environment Services.
Yeah. Kenny Schultz here, City of Oregon City's sewer engineer.
Excellent. Darren and Dana.
Darren Cannaparoli, Public Works Director, City of Gladstone.
Dana Webb, City of Oregon City, City Engineer.
Nathan and Mike.
Nathan Seaver, Project Manager with the Capital Group at WES.
Mike Ray, Senior Civil Engineer with WES. Joe and I met a couple weeks ago on the Willamette Pump Station, but nice to meet you again, Joe.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Stephen and Hakan.
Hey, Joe. I'm Stephen. I'm a civil engineering supervisor with WES.
I have nothing.
Akiko and Andy?
Hi, Akiko Gates, WES Administrative Specialist.
Bachman, Senior Civil Engineer with WES.
And Ron and Zach.
Hey, Joe, I'm Ron. From the W of WES.
Joe and Zach Colomar, we met quite a bit. with Wes and the Capital Group coordinating projects.
Zach's one of the guys that's been bending my ear about you, Joe.
Oh, well, that's good. It's nice to meet, everybody.
So, hopefully, I see you've got the invite. We'd love to have you every 3 months. This is just a great group to keep us all in the loop about what we're doing in our own systems. And if you have questions or need support or just want to know how somebody else did something, we have a round table at the end of each meeting where we can kind of get some feedback from the hive mind mentality here. We're all sewer folks, so great to have you.
Thank you.
Excellent. So with that, I am done. As if anybody else has anything, speak up. If not, stay in the AC. Great. Well, thank you, everyone. Our next meeting will be in September. And I look forward to seeing you. As always, please reach out if you say, hey, I want to hear more about this, or I have a question for the TAT. We'll get you on the agenda. All right? Thank you, everyone.